John Maxwell wrote an interesting book entitled Be a People Person. And in it, he tells this story I want to share with you. Mr. Merrick had to go to Chicago on business, and he persuaded his brother to take care of his cat during his absence. Though the brother hated cats, brother agreed. So upon his return, Mr. Merrick called from the airport to check on the cat. Brother answered, "Your cat died." Then he hung up. Well, Mr. Merrick was inconsolable. He loved this cat, and his grief was magnified by his brother's insensitivity. So he called his brother back again to express his pain and concern. "There was no need for you to be so blunt," he said. "What am I supposed to say?" asked the perplexed brother. "You could have broken the news gradually. You could have said, cat was playing on the roof. Then later in the conversation, you could have said, he fell off. Then maybe you could have said, he broke his leg. Then when I came to pick him up, you could have said, I'm sorry, brother, but your cat passed away during the night." "You've got to learn to be more tactful," brother said. "By the way, how's mom?" "She's playing on the roof." Last week we began a series of sermons on the things that God hates. So gather up your Bibles and join me again in those verses that we read found over in the book of Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. Again, Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse 16. These six things God hates, yes, seven, are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discourse among brethren. Last week we looked at the first of these sins, a proud look, pride we talked about. And today we're going to look at the second of this list, the subject of lying. And so we're going to combine number two and, if you're counting, number six, because both of them deal with lying. What do you say about lying? Well, first thing I say is that lying's a pretty easy sin to commit, isn't it? Let me give you some statistics. 91% of people say they lie routinely. 91%. 75% say they will even lie to their best friends, and they do it regularly. 86% of teenagers say they lie to their parents. Does that surprise you? 31% of spouses admit having an affair that lasted over a year. 32% say they wouldn't report a $2,000 in cash for a side job to the IRS. 58% say they've called in sick to the office when they really weren't sick, just wanted a day off. I don't know whether those statistics are accurate, because probably when they ask them, people lied about their answers. But I think it all proves the point that lying is an easy sin. When we lie, we justify our sin by saying to ourselves, my little lie, it's not going to hurt anyone. But everyone lies. Therefore, what's the big deal? You've heard, it's just a little white lie. Austin O'Malley wrote, "Those who believe it's all right to tell little white lies soon go colorblind." Think about that. Jeffrey Richards writes, "Lying is, in my opinion, the only fault whose birth and progress we should consistently oppose. It grows with a child's growth. And once the tongue has got the knack of it, it's difficult to imagine how impossible it is to correct it." We learned last week, if nothing else, that God hates sin. And one of the sins he tells us in these great proverb words is he hates lying. If you're still in Proverbs, you might turn a few pages over to the 12th chapter in verse 22. He says, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight." Lying is such an easy sin. And maybe that's what's so dangerous about it. Besides the ramifications that it can have in your personal life, lying is something that will eventually corrupt a person, leaving them insensitive to any sin. And one of Satan's favorite tricks, I think, is to convince us that sin is just not really a big deal. We think that little white lie is just that harmless and insignificant. That's exactly what Satan wants us to think. But God's clear throughout his word that he detests lying and that it is in our best interest to be truth tellers. What's the second thing we might say this morning about lying? Lying will hurt our relationships. Besides being a sin that is extremely easy to commit, lying is something that will eventually hurt all kinds of relationships. The Bible is full of evidence of people who, in their lying, when it became a part of their lives, destroyed and hurt their relationships. We want to think this morning about Saul and about Joseph's brothers and about Cain. Let's look at what happened with King Saul. Remember when he lied to his friend Samuel? If you have your Bibles, you might turn with me. We're going to go over to the book of 1 Samuel in the 15th chapter. To make the point that lying will hurt our relationship with our friends. King Saul and the prophet Samuel were good friends. Let's begin in verse 1 of 1 Samuel 15. "Samuel also said to Saul, 'The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, heed the words, the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey.'" Wow, strong words. Look down beginning in verse 7. "And Saul attacked the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur, which is east of Egypt. And he also took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them. But everything despised and worthless, that they utterly destroyed." The word of the Lord came to Samuel saying, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. So when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul went to Carmel. And indeed, he set up a monument for himself, and he has gone on around, passed by, and gone down to Gilgal. Let's look down at verse 13. And Samuel went to Saul. Saul said to him, Blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord.
Liar.
Liar, liar, liar. I had my grandkids over last night. We were talking about lying, little Taylor in his wheelchair. I said, liar, liar, pants on fire. And he finished the verse, whatever it was. Saul didn't follow God's instructions. Saul chose to lie to his friend Samuel. And the outcome led to the decay of their relationship. Look down in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 34. And Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house at Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel went no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul. And the Lord regretted that he had made Saul king over Israel. There is an interesting thing about the sin of lying, and it is simply this. It is one of those things that we can choose not to do in our life. Just as easy it is to sin by lying, it is just as easy to not. It's a choice that each of us need to make in our life and your relationship with your friends could hang in the balance. But lying also will hurt our relationship with our family. We mentioned Joseph's brothers. Follow me if you would. We're going to go over to the book of Genesis in chapter 37 in a moment. You remember, as we set the stage, Joseph's brothers were exceedingly jealous of the attention that Joseph was receiving from their father Jacob. So to rid themselves of this problem, this young boy that was getting all the attention, they decided that they would just sell Joseph to a traveling group of traders, thinking that they would never see him again. But they had to go home, and they had to confront their dad. So I had to lie to their father Jacob to cover up what they had done. So this is how they did it. It's found for us in the book of Genesis in chapter 37, beginning in verse 31. So they took Joseph's tunic, killed a kid of the goats, and dipped the tunic in the blood. Then they sent the tunic of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, We have found this. Do you know whether it is your son's tunic or not? Oh, come on. Liar, 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 liar. Pants on fire. If your dad knew the tale that you were spinning, he would do far more than tan your hide. You sell your brother. You bring his favorite coat. We all know the story of the coat of many colors. And you dip it in blood, and you bring it back to the father, and you say, Is this your son's coat? I don't know what happened. What reaction did you expect from your father? Well, this is what you got, beginning in verse 33. And he recognized it and said, It is my son's tunic. A wild beast has devoured him. Without doubt, Joseph is torn to pieces. Then Jacob tore his clothes, put sackcloth on his waist, and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters arose to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, "For I shall go down into the grave to my son in mourning." Thus his father wept for him. Boys, you put a wedge between your relationship with you and your father forever. A deep wedge. He may not find out your deception. He does. But your relationship will never be the same. Lying is one of those sins in our life which we can so easily choose just not to do. But it's a choice that each of us need to make in our own life, because if we don't, lying can destroy our relationship with our family. It hangs in the balance depending upon our choice. There's something else even more important than the first two, and that is lying will destroy a relationship with God. We mentioned the life of Cain. Follow me, if you would, back to the book of Genesis in chapter 4. Let's begin in the first verse. Genesis chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, "I've acquired a man from the Lord." She bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now, Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. The Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it." Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. You know that story. I apologize this morning. Not a whole lot of brotherly love in my sermon, is there? Joseph's brothers, now Cain, Abel's brother. Think about it. Joseph's brothers fell prey to the sin we talked about last week. They were jealous, all about self, really about pride. And so they sold Joseph. And now again, Cain, he becomes jealous because his younger brother Abel's sacrifice was acceptable to God and his was not. And so he rose up and he killed him. But not only did Cain commit this terrible act of murdering his own brother, but then he lied. Let's go back to Genesis 4, this time verse 9. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" He said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" Boy, we've heard that, haven't we? My brothers and I used to say that all the time to mom and dad. My kids to Tricia and I. "I do not know." Liar. Liar, liar, liar. I don't know, your pants are on fire, but you're a liar. You know exactly where your brother Abel is. You killed him. You know where you buried him or where you left him. And now you come face to face with God Almighty and you tell him you don't know. You lie to God himself. Cain chose to lie to God about his sin, and it immediately drove a wedge between him and his relationship with God. Look down at verse 10. And he said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth." Cursed are you. Get out. out from my presence. You are a man who will have no home. Go. And in the sweat of your labor, you will till the ground, and it's not going to yield up for you. But, you know, lying is a sin that we can so easily choose not to be a part of our life. But each one of us have to make that choice. And your relationship with God, as well as your relationship with your family and your relationship with your friends, all hangs in the balance. Concluding thought here this morning. You know, it occurred to me as I was reading these stories that, yeah, sometimes we do lie to our friends. We might lie to our families. We might lie to God. There's someone else we lie to. Sometimes we lie to ourselves. We say to ourselves as we look in the mirror, I can stop sinning. We say, I'm going to go to church. I'm not going to be the kind of guy or gal that I used to be. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to learn all about God and what He wants from me. So I'm going to be obedient to His Word. I'm going to be an example to my friends and to my family. I'm going to get right with God. I'm going to do what He asks. I'm going to live the way He wants me to live. I'm going to walk where He leads, and I'm going to do more. It's a lie. We say it. But we're nothing more than the same as Cain or Joseph's brothers or Saul. Liar, 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 liar. We've said all those things to ourselves from time to time. What keeps us from keeping our word? Nothing. Because lying is one of those sins that we can so easily choose to not have be a part of our lives. My friends, we got to quit lying to ourselves about our obedience to God. And now is the only time we know we have. We don't have necessarily this afternoon or tomorrow to change. I mentioned our kids. We were talking about it again last night. John was there and Sherry. Scott's in Washington, D.C. I said, do you remember when Scott used to always in the back seat of the car turn to the two of you and say, you're a liar and you know where liars are going? If you don't know where liars are going, turn with me over to Revelation 21, verse 8. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. He wouldn't always stop by saying, you know where liars go. He'd have to make sure they knew. Liars go to hell. All liars, it says, shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. Not just the ones who lie a little while. Little white lies. All liars. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go there. I don't want my family to go there. I don't want my friends to go there. I don't want anyone to go there. And surely we don't want to go there because we have simply lied to God about our relationship with Him. He cries for you. He says, come. That's the last words that you find in the book of Revelation. Come. We're all welcome to come. But we have to come through faith, through repentance of our sin, through confessing that we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son, our Savior. By being baptized so that our sins are washed away and we can rise as a new creature and we can walk the talk, live the life, follow our Lord. If you haven't done that today, I don't know what you've been saying to yourselves, how many lies you've said, I'll do it later, I'll do it tomorrow, I'll do it when it's a more convenient time. I'll do it when. I'll do it if. Liar. Can we say that? Come. That's the word as we stand and sing.